And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ, May 11th, 2025. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here. It's what the world calls Mother's Day, and I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are out there. And we're going to start this morning off with a song, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Seeking ye the first, the kingdom of God. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that are trying to do that. Last week we were under attack, cyber attack, and weren't able to get live church out, was able to get it recorded and get it posted up later on in the day. But first thing when I heard about the attacks on Saturday night was when you fire at the enemy fires back. And it was an act of warfare, this way that I see it, and put out prayer requests and had men that were praying for us and had a good IT team that was working on it. And they worked all through the night trying to get these attacks of dude. They were targeting our servers, targeting our computers, trying to delete all of our information. It was a serious deal. And it was just interesting. But, I just held on to the promises that greater are the forces that are for us than the forces that are against us. And I believe that our Heavenly Father delivered us once again. We haven't had an attack like that in quite some time. And it was something that, no matter what, we were going to overcome. It was an obstacle, and we overcame it. But it was a different kind of attack. It was a very, even the IT guys that I talked to said it was very different and didn't know how to protect against an attack like this. So I thought that was interesting. And then I did notice that later on in the week, there was several other conservative people that this week they put a lot of truth out. They were attacked later on in the week also, and it was cyber attacks there as well. So praise God, our God did delivered us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, and the power of the dogs, and all the forces that were coming against us. But do ask that you do keep us in your prayers, I do appreciate those prayers. We're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer right now. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Father, for for your assistance, your guidance, your direction. Lord, we thank you for being our God, that we are your people. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us. And Lord, as they attacked us, Father, we pray, Father, that you deal with them as you see fit, that you deal with those cyber attackers out there, whoever they are. Lord, I pray, Father, that you just look down upon them, identify them, and give them a just judgment, as we know that you are a just judge. You are our mighty King. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for the deliverance that you gave us and the guidance and the direction and the wisdom that you gave our team. We thank you for these things. And we just ask, Father, I ask, Father, that as we gather today on Sunday, what the world calls Mother's Day, that you bless the good mothers that are out there. I pray, Father, for just a special blessing to come down upon them. I pray, Father, that their hearts are in the right spot. I pray, Father, that you just shine your face down upon them and help them to have a good day. I pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And there's, you know, a lot of stuff that has been going on, a lot of stuff to talk about. We do have a lengthy message. I broke things up a little bit today. Wanted to get that part three of Wolf and Sheep. I had quite a few emails that people really wanted to see part three on that, if there was a part three, and was able to get that one done this week. And it's a fantastic message by Richard Kelly Hoskins that preached 35 plus years ago, and it was just timeless. As I listened to it again this morning, it's just, you know, it was so many of the things that are happening that he was talking about are happening today right before our eyes. And the message that I have today is confess what you are in Christ. And this is another message that I've just recently I've had several people ask me about this message that Pastor Peters brought. And it was a rather lengthy message, but I thought today was a good day to play it. And I want to play that, and we will be back for communion here shortly. Confess what you are in Christ. Important message to learn.
Another announcement I want to make is that Jesus is coming soon, very soon, believe it or not. Another announcement that occurred to me that I should make from time to time. I announced last week we had a special guest in our audience. It was a secretary that I'd had many years ago, and she came and paid us a visit. I hadn't seen her in many years. And I was pleased after services to find that she came expecting to give. She had her checkbook out, and she said, "Well, you didn't pass the offering plate." What? And it occurred to me that, well, I said, "Well, we have an offering box. I never pass the offering plate here at Cora." Well, she didn't know where the offering box was, and it occurred to me, she came to give, and I need to let you people know where the offering box is at. It's P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Now, some of you, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9, but some of you come and expect only to receive and not to give. But I want to give you a law that is actually given to us. Paul gave it to the church there in Corinth. And you need to understand it. It says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 8, we begin to read, "For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing." God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endured all things that we may cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. I want to thank those of you that are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and support this ministry and allow me to preach and do what I told the Lord I would do. I would preach, and I asked him that I might not have to be a beggar to do it. And because some of you do give, you don't come just to receive, but you give. And Jesus said it is more blessed to give and receive. You'll receive more. And so thank you. I probably should do this more often, let you hear some of the mail that I get. Let me just read this one before we get to the message. Hi, Pastor Peters. I'm writing to ask a question, or let me say, ask some advice. When I was 17 years old, I got baptized fully when attending a church here in my city. I then continued on my road of life with all its ups and downs. It was last year, sometime in the fall, I found Pastor Peters on the internet from his Untold Story webpage. Then a friend told me about the other site Scriptures for America and that I could listen to sermons by him there. I've been listening ever since. A year before finding Pastor Peters, I left the church that I was attending. For starters, I was doing a 7-year Bible study. I had already done 4 before leaving the church. It was very eye-opening. What happened was that I was reading from my Bible, and what they were teaching from the church did not match up. That's one way to get people out of Judeo-Christian churches, get them to read the Bible. I've always maintained one of the best ways to get people out of the Catholic Church is to get them to read the Bible. It says here, I feel that if people were taught the truth in these churches, things would change. The truth will set you free, and you don't get into heaven based on ignorance. God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Thank you for being the exception and not the rule, for going against the grain instead of with it. I know that you are a blessed man because you have the Holy Spirit with you. I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for all you do. Encouraging letter, don't you think? I've got to get back to those another untold stories. But, you know, we had to pay to get those stories out on the different networks. And I was able to do it and because of some of you supporting us. So I wanted you to know about the offering box. Now, this is a short email. It says, for your information, just watching ABC News, and they came out with concerns regarding young girls being vaccinated with Gardasil for cervical cancer. 772 young girls with side effects, and some of them dying. What's that got to do with anything, Pastor Peters? Your pastor has been preaching against these vaccinations, and he went against that dark, beady-eyed bastard of a governor in Texas who has forced girls to take this Gardasil. What other preacher's doing it? You think about it. And we do it on the air, and we get it out. And I want to tell you something. Don't take their vaccinations. Amen? Now, with that said, we'll get to the message. The sermon that I have for you is a takeoff or a follow-up on one I delivered in Branson, Missouri, in our last gathering there. It was heard there in Branson, but it needs to be heard on our CD and DVD and cassette tape ministry and the Sunday sermon ministry. But I want to give a warning concerning it. It's truth, but it's very dangerous truth. It's a very dangerous truth to claim for some. For some, yea, for many. For many, far too many, believe they are in Christ when they are not, thanks to those dirty bird Amalekite preachers who have been telling them to simply accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Who's been telling them to have the sinner's prayer. Who's been telling them they get in Christ a different way than what the Bible tells them. Now, the message I have is for those that are in Christ. I am going to equip you with something, and if you will use it, you will find that you will have strength and endurance and ability and capacity that you never imagined before. But if you believe a lie, if you claim these truths as something that personally applies to you when you are not in Christ, it's dangerous because you'll be believing a lie. Now, let me tell you real fast. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I'm going to let you read what the Scripture says and how you get into Christ. Romans 6:2. It says, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin, that's what happens when you repent, still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, notice, you're baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death. That's how you get into Christ. It's not the only witness we have. 1 Corinthians 12:13 is another one that speaks similarly. And it also tells us the same thing. We read, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." And then Galatians 3:26-27, and then we'll move on to the point of the message. But it also tells us the same thing. We read, "For you are all sons of God." Just think of that. I want you to say it right now, everybody out there. I am a son of God. Say it. I am a child of God. Let's put it that way, because it helps the ladies a little bit. "For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." Now, when you are in Christ, the Bible teaches us, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, you are a new creature. In fact, there's a whole lot of things that are made new, we read. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Many new things come when you come to be in Christ. But those things come through confession. And that's what we're on today. The title of the message is "Confess What You Are in Jesus Christ." It's important to periodically confess what you are in Christ. Several months back, this ministry put out a booklet. I revealed it in Branson. I always try to equip the saints that come to our Branson, Missouri gathering with new weaponry. We are told in Ephesians chapter 4 that one of the jobs a pastor has is to equip the saints for the work of service. And so we equip the Christian soldier with what I call new from the arsenal, your own personal I am confessional. And we pass them out in Branson, and I think we've offered them in the newsletter. And right now, we're out of them. We're going to do a new printing. There's a couple of mistakes in it. But we've got enough out to find out that we now have enough witnesses that have witnessed to us about it, that it works. And it works real well. Now, to tell you the truth, that sounds like perfectly honest, boy, don't it? To be perfectly honest with you. Excuse me. To tell you the truth, I didn't know what to preach. And been kind of lacking some energy and some things, and I pulled out my I am confessional. And I just started reading those I am confessions. And by the time I was done, I was feeling better. And I thought, okay, Lord, I got the message. That's what I'm going to bring today. I'm going to bring to you this personal I am confessional and tell you you can order it from us. I'd be glad to send it to you. For those of you that support the ministry, you just write to us and we'll send it to you. Just say, I support the ministry, and we'll send it. For those of you that don't, you write to us anyway and ask for it, and then guess what? I won't send it to you. I decided I'm not going to. Now, if you want to give a quarter or 50 cents, I won't even pay the postage, then I'll send it to you. But you see, it won't mean anything to you unless you pay a price for it. I'm coming to find that out. Freebies just don't work. But I tell you, you can read it for free at the internet site. Is it there on site? You can read it at scriptures4america.org. But it would be far better for you to have it. And I'll tell you why. Because I've made provisions in it to where you have blank pages, you can add your own additional IMs. You can see that I've been writing my own IMs. They start coming to you as you go along. Jesus Christ, I want to tell you how it works and how important this thing is. He is our high priest, and Hebrews 3:1 teaches us that. But what is Jesus Christ the high priest of? You need to understand that. Jesus Christ is the high priest, according to Hebrews 3:1, of our confession. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Everybody say, of our confession. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Now, confession is a two-sided coin, and most that have any connection to Christianity only understand one side of the coin. And it's a very good side, don't get me wrong. It's a very important side. It's the side where we read in 1 John 1, 8 through 10, of confessing our sins. That scripture says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. This we deal is the church, Christians. We sometimes sin, and we can confess our sins, and He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. This is a very important side of the confession coin, but it's the only side that Christians are probably made aware of, and I want you to be aware of the other side, which I call the positive side. It's making positive affirmations. Now, I know this is repeat for some of you, but some of you need it repeated. I want you to look around you today in this world, and I want you to understand something. Everything you see is a result of what was spoken. Everything you see, be it the mountains, the trees, the water, the soil, God Almighty spoke. The great I Am said, let there be. And there was. The spoken word has power, and you've got to get it down. And that's why the Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And sometimes we are way too free with our spoken word. Amen? I'll give you an example. I don't think my wife will mind me sharing it. Because she received freely and openly a curse. Remember that? We had some visitors at our house, and this one lady seemed like a very decent Christian lady, but she was a little heavier than she probably wanted to be, and she said to my wife, she said, give me 10 pounds of your skinny, and I'll give you 10 pounds of my fat. And, you know, Ned said, okay. When she says it wasn't quite that way, but, I mean, what do you say when somebody says that, you know? Words have power. And all of a sudden, my wife's saying, honey, I'm putting on weight. Remember that? And then it came to us, we had received a curse. Curses come from words, do they not? And so we just prayed and reversed the curse. There is power in words, either negatively or positively. Positive affirmations are your confessions of what you are in Christ. And you are many things in Christ. Let me sum up the sermon right now. That way we won't run out of time. Let's simply sum up the sermon here and now, and this is what it is. Speak out loud to yourself what you are in Christ and believe it. There's the sermon. Speak out loud what you are in Christ and believe it, and it will be. Remember, according to the Word, everything around you right now that you see was spoken into existence. Here's how it works. We point out how it works in this booklet, which I'd like to send to you, if you don't have it. On page 7. I want to read it to you. It says, the Greek word translated confession in Hebrews 3:1 means saying the same thing. Confession is an affirmation of a Bible truth we have embraced. It means saying the same thing. It's an affirmation of a Bible truth that we have embraced. Embrace every truth that God gives you. Amen? And He'll give you more. It involves believing with our hearts and repeating with our lips what we are in Christ. Jesus is the high priest of our confession, and then acts in our behalf according to what we confess, when confession is in accordance with the Word of God. Now, when Paul said, I have finished the fight, or finished the faith, he said, I have fought the fight, I have finished the course, I have fought the fight of faith. Sometimes you have to hold on to that confession. So many times we don't do what we're to do because it's too simple to do. But if you'll simply do it, you'll find that God will do His part. And what that means is that He will take and He will become the high priest of your confession. He will take that confession to the Lord and the Lord will act upon it. Confession is an affirmation of a Bible truth that we embrace. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He acts on our behalf to what we confess when we confess what is in accordance with the Word of God. In Jeremiah 1:11, we read that the Lord acts upon the Word. It says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. I don't know what Richard's performing over there on the computer. I don't think it's his fault, but I think it's the computer acting up. But he will watch over it. And, of course, Hebrews 7, you don't need to bring this on the screen, but it says in Hebrews 7:25, he always lives to make intercession for them. He will take your confession and make intercession. F.F. Bosworth put it this way in his book, our confession includes the whole of Scripture, the whole of Scriptural truth, all that His sacrifice provided, all that His high priest covers, the whole of God's Word revealed. Now, when you make that confession, we're going to go next to Hebrews 4:14 and read it again. You've got to hold fast to the confession. We read again Hebrews 4:14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. I guess we haven't read it yet in that script in the sermon, but there we read it. Let us hold fast. Not only do you take and confess what the Bible says that you are in Christ, you say it out loud so you hear it. You believe it, and then you got to hold on to it. Make sense? Got to hold on, and you got to hold on. Now, I'll give you some examples. On page 20, this booklet has all these confessions in it that are yours. For example, I'll just give you an example so you can get an idea of how this thing works. On page 20, it says, here's a confession. I am victorious in Jesus. It's based on 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I can say, I am victorious. I am victorious. Say it. You'll find strength in it. But you might say, well, I don't feel victorious. Now, you may not feel victorious at the time you say it. You may feel defeated, discouraged, and even beat up and ready to give up. So, which is true, your feelings or the Word of God? That's the fight of faith. And then you recognize the Word is true. My feelings are a fake. One time I was speaking to a lady, I forgot about this time, but I came in from being on the radio the other night, and my wife was listening to me on the internet, and the next sermon was entitled, The Bible, the Doctor, and You. It's on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, and it's kind of embarrassing, but I got to enjoy my own sermon. What am I going to say next? Because I couldn't remember. And then I gave an illustration about a woman, and I do kind of remember this. It was a woman, and I explained to her and showed her God's plan of salvation. And at the very end, she says, you know, I see what you're saying. I know what it says. But, you know, I'm going to go with my feelings. Well, what can I do with that? Go with them. But if you go with your feelings over the truth of God's Word, you will not have the victory. Amen? And you will fail in your fight of faith. That's how simple it is. On page 13 I have, I am able to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Say, I am able to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That's based on Philippians 4, 12 through 14. Now, you may not feel you can. You may not feel like you can go on. You may not feel like you want to go on at the time you say it. But you don't go on your feelings. You go with that fight of faith. You got to hold on to the confession. And when you do, you'll find that your feelings will begin to change. I got one on page, I forget which page it is. I am out of the pit. I am out of the pit. People say, man, life is the pits. Well, it says in Psalms 103:4, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving compassion and loving kindness. And so, which is true. When you make these confessions, you'll find yourself getting out of the pit. I could take time to read some of the confessions, and I might before the thing is over. Sometimes when I don't feel like getting out of bed, I'll just lay there and pardon me for the cough. I'll just lay there and make the confessions. I don't have to read them here. I do read them. A lot of times I grab this. My wife is a witness, got laying by my bedstand, and I'll read these confessions. I am loved. I am not ashamed. I am blessed. I am redeemed. I am without condemnation. I am born again. I am in the Lamb's book of life. I am victorious. I am able to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I am a preacher. I am in my preaching prime. I am coming into my prime. I am having my youth renewed. You know one song I won't sing here? Well, I'm sad and I'm weary or something like that. No. Whenever you have the words I am, you watch what you say. Because you see, there's a flip side to this thing. There's a negative side to this thing. Satan would have you say sometimes things that are not true. And so very often you'll hear people say, I am, and then they'll follow up with the words, sick and tired of such and such. And then they wonder why they're sick and tired. Confession works either way. Amen? And so, you have this list of confessions, and they're listed here, and there are scriptures behind everyone. You're not confessing lies. You're confessing the truth, and then you're holding on to your confession. I point this out. It comes from Exodus 3, 13, 14, that in the booklet, our God is the great I am. That means that when Moses went to do his part, he was called. And sometimes I say this, I am called. Say that. I am called. He was called and I am answering that call. Say that. See, it's an I am. And Moses said, but you know, Lord, when I do answer that call, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, who called you? And who's telling me to do this? This is what it says in the scripture. It says, then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent you. Who is this God of Israel? He is the I am. And when you become a child of God, you know what you are? You are an I am. Say, I am an I am. It's something to think about. We are I ams. Now, salvation involves confession. Our next scripture is going to come from Romans 10, verse 7. But when I point out in the booklet this new from the arsenal, your own personal I am confessional, I point out that salvation is far more than what the Baptist Church would have you believe. Most, when they hear the word salvation, only believe it to pertain to the here and after. And that's good enough. But I tell you, it gets better. Because the Bible teaches us that we not only have salvation in the here and after, we have salvation in the here and now. Think about it. But to have that salvation in the here and after or in the here and now, we have to make the confession. Because confession, according to Romans chapter 10, 7 through 11, is part of salvation. Salvation from sin, salvation from disease, salvation from discouragement, salvation from despair, salvation from depression, salvation from the pit, salvation from our enemies all involves our confession, we read. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in what? Salvation. Goes on to say, and we won't go there, but it says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. I want you to know that we say in the booklet that it's salvation unto confession. It's not salvation unto confession, but it's confession unto salvation. That is, confess before salvation. When we affirm the word through confession, our Lord, as the high priest of our confession, watches over it and makes it good. And that's why I always, before I baptize someone, have them confess who Jesus Christ is. As I said, confession goes both ways. In the booklet, I give an illustration that I think is appropriate. A couple of them, actually, but I'll give you one. A lot of times, you know, one time Jesus said when they were saying, Hosanna to the highest, he said, if they didn't say it, even the rocks would cry out. And sometimes the Lord has truth cried out in another way if it's not going to be cried out from the pulpits. And one of the ways, believe it or not, as I look back on it, I can see it in cartoons. And the cartoon I think about is old Popeye. Now, there's quite a story in this thing of Popeye, and I bring it out in the booklet. Popeye was fighting Brutus. Remember Brutus? And the Bible talks about the brute beasts. Now, he was always fighting Brutus over what? Olive oil. Now, I never could see what he saw in old olive oil myself. But you know, a wise Christian is never found without his olive oil. Amen? You see, I wasn't taught this in Bible college, but I always anoint this building before I preach with the olive oil. But it was a fight over olive oil. And normally you'll find in the story that he was getting beat up pretty bad. Until finally he came to a point, he made the confession. And what was his confession? It was, I am that I am. I has all I can stands, and I can stands no more. And as soon as he said, I am, what happened? Things began to change. Suddenly, the spinach can was available somewhere. And it was a coming in. What do you suppose that spinach can represented? The Holy Spirit. And one of the confessions we have in the booklet is that I am able to ask for more of the Holy Spirit and get it. That's an I am confession. And when he got it, he got strength and power, and he was able to whip his enemy. Now that is a story. If it's not going to be told from the pulpits, you see, what the pulpits have done today in this Judeo-Christianity that has been infiltrated by the Amalekite, Edomite connection, they have taught you that being meek is being weak. That man who stuck out his hand and said, nail her, boys, he was meekest on the earth and the most powerful. And he was not weak. Amen. Meek doesn't mean weak. And so they have taught us to lay down and let Brutus stomp on us. As we said in Sunday school today, after Pastor Kimball was done teaching, I still can thank God for Obama. Because Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out into the street and trampled under the foot of man. He answered his own question. How will you make it salty again? As I said in Sunday school, I remember in the 60s when I was studying communism, one man who had lived under it said, you want to know what communism is like? He says, picture a boot stomping you in the face 24 hours a day. And so today we have people that are facing, this is a true fact, facing prison sentence for praying over their food in school. Think about that. And I say, praise the Lord. We're in a situation now that they're very well might be holding a gun to you to get you to take the swine flu shot. And I say, praise the Lord. Because you see, it's going to take that, evidently, to bring the saltiness back into the man. And there will be a day when men of God says, I am what I am, and I've had all I can stand, and I can stand no more.
Amen.
And that spinach will flow. And you make that confession. One of the confessions I wrote down is, I am capable of chasing 1,000.
Amen.
Amen. And we've got to have our saints equipped again with that power of the I am. And that's why I've wrote the booklet. In the booklet, I tell a story of a man that was near defeat. It's one of my favorite stories in the book. And I want to tell you something. When it's the darkest, it really, truly, is sometimes just before the dawn. I've seen it happen in life over and over and over again. So you want to fight the fight of faith when you're down and you're despairing, and I say, I am serving a God that works all things together for good. And then hold on to that confession and smile and get your long face up out of the boot. Some are so long faced they can eat oatmeal out of a boot. If you believe these I am, say it, hold fast to it. You can't decide for others. They make their own decision, but you can decide this. My God will not give me more than I can stand. My God will work this out for good. My God's got a plan for me. I am His. He's my Father. I'm a child of God. And you'll find power and strength will come into you in the darkest hour One of the darkest hours in David's life was just before he was crowned king of Israel. He come home and his wives were gone, the men and women of his men taken by the Amalekites. And even his own men turned on him and they claimed that he was the blame. It's the story of coming home to Ziklag. It's one of my favorite stories. Defeated. Can you imagine now what was going through his mind? You don't have to be a psychologist to figure this out. There's a devil out there. You have an adversary, and he'll put thoughts in your mind. A lot of times the thoughts that you have are not your thoughts. They're thoughts that he's putting in your mind to make you think it. Now, Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan," and sometimes you have to say the same thing. This isn't true. You can only imagine what was going through his mind. I'm ruined. I'm defeated. I'm abandoned by the Lord. I am wanting to die. I am whipped. I'm bitter. I'm unable to go on. I'm quitting this serving the Lord stuff. Oh, I've seen it happen time after time. Oh, I've said more than once, a good heartbreak is good for everybody. Builds character. The Lord knows how to make you strong, makes you suffer. That's what he does. And sometimes he knows how to make you suffer. One of the I am's I have in here is I am confirmed, perfected, strengthened, and established. I am being perfected, confirmed, strengthened, and established. Because the Bible says after you have suffered for a little while, he will strengthen, confirm, and establish you. Amen. These are your I am's that you can claim. And when you do, you can be sure that he will take those I am's and he will bring them to pass. Be sure that David felt these I am's that I said. And had he confessed them, he would have become the I am of his confession. Now, the truth was, at the time, he was getting beat up pretty bad. But the Bible says he strengthened himself in the Lord. And one of the ways that I put on the armor is I gird my loins with truth by saying the I am truths. And once you say the I am truths, then you've got to believe the I am truths. That's the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And then you have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You can walk on. You don't know where you're going because sometimes you walk by faith and not by sight. As one lady told the illustration in Sunday school today, as we're talking about how things could get worse. Her and her husband had lost everything in court. They'd been swindled. And a Christian lady friend was taking her home. And she was bitter about her loss. And she said, "Have you ever had this, something like this happen?" You know, something along those lines. Am I accurate? And her response was, "Yeah. And when I was pregnant with my fourth child and my husband died," wham, just hit her. She still had her babies. And she still had her husband. You see, I don't know how that fits into this I am, but she could say, "I am victorious in Christ. I am serving a God that's working things out together for good." Say, "I am going to become his." I don't want some of you to say these I am's because they would be a lie to you. Because these I am's are not your I am's, because you are not an I am until you are in Christ. And you are in Christ when you repent as a believer of your sins. That means dying to your own way of life. That means that you surrender to him and you no longer live your life for yourself but for him. Trusting him that he knows better how to live that life than you do. And when you die to your sins, then as he was buried in the grave as a dead man, you are buried in the act of baptism. And when you do that, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness or remission of sins. When you do that, you are baptized into Christ. And then you can claim those I am's. And I hope some of you out there will say, "I am going to make a decision today. I am going to become a Christian. I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength. I am not going to linger any longer. I am going to make that decision. I am going to get my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's one of the I am's that are in here. I am in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am going to become a Christian. I am probably not giving those invitations as much as I should, but I'm giving it to you now. Where you're at, I don't know, but I know you're out there and you're hearing. And I know I was spirit-led to give this message again and to do it today. I was thinking today as I was coming down here from the radio ranch about a man. I just call him the man I never saw again. It's an interesting story. It was back, many years ago when this big-butted Baptist Amalekite was trying to cash in on the Israelite message, the Anglo-Israel message. I won't give his name. He has two different names. I just tell you what he is. Fraud. First thing he did, I was too nice of a guy back in those days. I should have nailed him then. First thing he did when he held his first Anglo-Israel super conference was to get up the first message he did and speak against baptism, by the way. Him and his big Baptist butt. But anyway, I was still preaching baptism, and I took a class aside of a bunch of men and women, taught them. It was right out there in front of, what was the name of that place? Roy Clark Theater. There's a pond out there with the water going. And brought these people out, and I was baptized them for the remission of sins, not an outward sign of an inward grace. And I was baptized them. I was all wet there. And there was a man standing there, and a very dignified man, gray-haired man, tall, had a three-piece suit on. And he spoke to me, and he said, you know, I didn't bring any clothes. He said, I think I need to be baptized. He said, next year when I come, I'm going to bring clothes to get baptized. And I looked at him, I said, next year? And I didn't say much more, something like that. And I was baptizing people, and the next thing, and there was quite a line of people I was baptizing. Next thing I know, here was a man, he'd taken off his shoes, and he was walking in that water with that fine suit on. And I baptized him. I never saw him again. You know, I'm not sure he made it to next year. And you don't know if you're going to make it to the next day. And you don't know what day Jesus is coming. But I tell you this, he's coming soon. And between now and then, you can be victorious in all the things that come your way. And they'll come. And there's a whole list of IMs in here. I don't know, 80, 90 some. And I keep writing my own. I have a place here where you can write your own. Here's some more. Here's some of my own. I'm hitting my stride. I'm having the power of God work in me mightily. I'm coming into my preaching prime. Because sometimes Satan starts to tell me I'm getting over the hill. You see? No way. I am on the glory road. I heard a song about that. Well, I am on the glory road. Amen. I wrote this one down. I'm faithful, hopeful, rejoiceful, capable, and thankful. I'm in possession to the keys of the kingdom. And then, of course, all these here. I'm able to receive forgiveness and abundant mercy when I call upon the Lord. I am protected by my Lord. I am promised that my enemies will turn back on the day when I invoke God. I'm casting all my cares upon Jesus. I'm not afraid, for I put my trust in Jesus. And there's scriptures to back every one of these I am's. And I am telling you, if you will use the I am's and make the confessions of what you are in Christ Jesus, you will be like old Popeye of old in those old cartoons. And you will be like David, who strengthened himself in the Lord, and you will have victory in Christ. He is the high priest of our confession. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that this would be an equipping of the saint's sermon today, and they would take seriously what they've heard said, and that they would do and confess all the I am's that are theirs in Christ. In Jesus' name I so pray, and I pray that for those that are yours, that you would bless them and keep them. Make your face shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Lift your countenance on them and grant them peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed that message. I know for our internet audience, we did experience some technical difficulties. And I'll get that message posted up here in the next. It'll take me a couple hours to get it up there, but I'll have that on the website. And when I listened to that message, I thought just like what Pastor Peters closed out with. It was a message for equipping the saints. And it's something that I've been talking a lot about, Zach's been talking a lot about, and there was a lot of the stories that that were in there that I've heard over the years. And that message just was really encouraging and really powerful to me. And maybe I was just the one that needed to hear it. But I know that it was interesting because it must have been a moving of the Holy Spirit, because I've had several people asked me about that message, and I wasn't sure exactly where it was, but was able to find it. Praise the Lord. We'll get that one up on the website shortly. And we are just about out of time. As we move to communion, I don't think that there's a whole lot that I'm going to say today. I mean, it's as we partake of communion today, I'm going to do better. I'm going to be stronger. Yesterday on Saturday, took my oldest son Justice to a shooting match, and we'd been several times here recently, and I was telling him, I said, all you got to do is do a little bit better than last time, and he was able to win two rounds, and he'd never won a round before, but it was doing just a little bit better, and a little bit better, and he was happy, he was excited, because that's what he did. He did a little bit better, and you know, we talked about having an anchor point, having a set point where if you don't know where you're at, you go back to zero, and you've got to know your zero. And as we partake of communion today, we go back, we realize that, you know, we aren't perfect. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ to us. We eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and confess our sins, and let us make up our mind that we are going to do better this week. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Father, that those that gather with us and partake of communion, that they make up their mind to do a little bit better this week. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the improvement and for you working in our lives. We thank you for more of that Holy Spirit that you've given us. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that we can call you our God. We thank you that you call us your people. Oh, Lord, we just ask right now as we partake of communion today that you forgive us of our sins, known and unknown, that you guide us and direct us throughout this next week, that you help us to do a better job. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may partake. And now we'll have round two of Wolf and Sheep by Richard Kelly.